Let's pray. Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. What an awesome blessing it is to acknowledge moms today, acknowledge women today. Father, we thank you on how we get the blessing, Father, of worshiping together, praying together, getting in the Word together, Lord, loving on each other. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace, Father. We want no other but you, Lord. We're here to declare your name today, Father. We want to be used by you today, Father. And I pray that the scriptures, that the verses that really you wrote through the prophets, that you wrote through the writers of the Bible, Lord, are from you, Father. They're God-breathed. They're for us, Father. And you tell us not to change them, not to add anything, not to subtract anything, Lord, but your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father. And I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Love moms. I had a mom, praise God. I hope you all had a mom, praise God. Anybody in here ever take the subject geology? Anybody here ever take geology? Praise God. I took it at Prince George's Community College, and I had to take it as an elective, and I didn't like it at all, man. I mean, I thought it was a study of rocks, but I thought they were going to talk about rock and roll, but it was about rocks. But I found there's a rock called a geode. Anybody ever heard of that? Might have a little picture there for you. Yeah. It's a hollow rock with a beautiful crystal inside. They're formed as water, high mineral water that keeps flowing through these hollow rocks. And the minerals, they just get stuck there and the water continues to flow over it. And as more as the minerals gather, it produces this beautiful crystal that you can buy in a jewelry store. In fact, the more water that flows, the more beautiful the crystal becomes. And now the external covering, the outside, begins to wear and weather over time. But inside, the crystal is just getting prettier and prettier. And I thought to myself, this is like a woman. This is like a woman where God continues to flow through the inside. Now, she may be getting older and the wrinkles may start to show. And maybe she picked up a few pounds. But things may not look like they used to on the outside. But can I tell you something? Because of the flow of the Lord, the flow of that water, the flow of the Holy Spirit on the inside, she gets prettier and prettier all the time. That's the best way I know to describe a woman. That's the best way I know to describe my wife. When she's in the Word, I mean, she's glowing, man. Kathy, you were doing your Bible study yesterday. I look over there, man. It was like a halo there, man. It was beautiful. Stay in the Word. Husband, get your wives into the Word. Have them fellowship with other ladies. I've been to 6 women conferences, man. They're powerful, man. I'd ask every man to at least go to one in their lifetime. They're beautiful. I've been sharing these messages about hope over the last few weeks. And it started with Easter Sunday when we were in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the chapter that shares the gospel with you. Whenever you want to share the gospel, just go to 1 Corinthians 15. Read the first 8 verses. And Paul just flows it out there and it's beautiful. Then April 23rd, I had this message called, What Do You Do When You Blow It? Which we all do. And it was talking about hope restored. Then on April 30th, the message was about humble hope. That where hope found when we dug into Matthew 8, 1 through 13, and we looked at the leopard and we looked at the centurion and we saw how their faith in God gave them hope and they were healed. And then last week, my message was called An Attitude to Be Grateful, an attitude of gratefulness. And we talked about that in our community groups today, digging into Psalm 138, 1 through 8. It's so important to be grateful. It's so important to be thankful. It's so important. It's like the Lord opens up the door in your life and in your heart when you're grateful for things and you thank Him for things. So when I was thinking about what should I share on Mother's Day, I was reading about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And I thought to myself, and I put this in your listening guide, sometimes as women and even as men, we attempt to hide our desperation. We distract ourselves with rigorous activity. And we do everything that we can do to drown out the ache or the heartache we might be feeling inside. at the end of the day, I mean, I could come up here and preach for the next 50 years. And at the end of the day, nothing will satisfy us. Only Jesus can give us the hope that we so desperately need. Am I right or not? Is there any amens on that or not? We can study all day and know about things, but only Christ can give us the hope we desperately need. Now, these two pastors, Paul Tripp and Timothy Lane, they made a book on how people change. You know, Christian brothers, pastors, they made this statement, physical and spiritual holes have one thing in common. They don't stay empty long. That's so true. And Paul Tripp, he illustrates his point by pointing out the state of his closet when you come into his house. The coat closet there. It's underneath their main staircase in the house. And though his wife cleans it and puts it into pristine condition once every 6 months, it really doesn't stay that way. Anybody have a closet like that at home? As you can imagine, what happens is that all the stuff that doesn't have a home somehow finds its way there. And before long, the door can barely shut and the wife has to tackle the project all over again. And I think about that analogy, that illustration. Our lives are like that. Paul Tripp, he refers to this as the gospel gap. The gospel gap in many of our lives really doesn't stay empty either. If we do not live with a gospel shape, Christ confident, change committed Christianity, that hole will get filled with other things. You know what I'm talking about? These things may seem plausible and sometimes even biblical, but they will be missing the identity, provision, process that is meant to fill every believer. If our lives aren't filled with the gospel, our weary hearts will lead us to fill them with something or someone else. I'd like us all to read that together. Let's read it together. If our lives aren't filled with the gospel, our weary hearts will lead us to fill them with something or someone else. And I'm writing that and I'm thinking about the teenagers. Man, you're going to want to fill that void as you grow older, and things are going to come along, and people are going to come along, and funny cigarettes are going to come along, and all that stuff. But if you fill your heart with Christ, if you choose to live for Him, man, your life's going to be powerful. He's going to use you in a mighty way. We might be like that preacher in Ecclesiastes, when you're reading the book of Ecclesiastes, searching everywhere under the sun to find meaning. And maybe I'm supposed to ask you this today. What are the things that you do to drown out the ache that you might be suffering inside right now? The Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 hid behind really what I would say religious questions. And thankfully, Jesus saw through her religiosity and got straight to her heart. I got 3 points for you today. One, Jesus desires to reach us. He desires to reach us. I'm going to start in John 4, verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And then in parentheses in verse 8, it says, "For the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?'" And then once again in parentheses, "For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So you read those verses and you think, Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Even more so, a Jewish man's not going to talk to a Samaritan woman. So from here in John chapter 4, we have Jesus asking this Samaritan woman for a drink. But there's so much more in these verses. We see from the very beginning that Jesus desires this woman's heart. Everything about this Samaritan woman makes her unacceptable to be speaking to a Jewish rabbi. She's a Samaritan, strike one. She's a Samaritan woman, strike two. She's a Samaritan woman who's caught in immorality, strike three. So though we might be sitting here and we're not a Samaritan woman, it should not be difficult for us to place ourselves in the shoes of this Samaritan woman, because we too have become unacceptable. And yet Jesus still speaks to us today. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I thought to myself, I put in your listening guide, focus on some of the ways that people are unacceptable, ways that we feel unacceptable, and ways that our sin actually makes us guilty before a holy God. So how do we respond to Jesus' desire to reach us? How do we try to clean up and assume that He can't be talking to me? Or that we would just come as we are, broken and naked, responding to His call? Point number two, Jesus meets us where we are. And here's the meat of the chapter. Jesus answered her in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." And the woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." And the woman said to her, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And in verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered Him, "I have no husband." And He says, "For you have had five husbands, and the one you were with now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me now, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." And then He goes on in verse 23, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." I mean, next Sunday morning when you wake up, think to yourself, "Father, I know You're seeking me to worship You today. I know You're seeking me to come to Your house today. I want to come and acknowledge You as my Lord and Savior. I want to worship You in spirit and truth, and I know this is the truth, and that there's no other but You, Lord." In verse 24, it says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, and He who is called the Christ," in parentheses, "when He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, can you imagine that? Jesus looking at you and saying, "I who speak to you am He." Think about that. Note the ways that Jesus could have begun this conversation with the Samaritan woman. Here's a woman living in sexual sin, and yet He doesn't begin the conversation where we likely would. He begins by talking about water and thirst, something the woman knows all too well. A woman that has five husbands and probably shacking up with the sixth guy is obviously a thirsty woman. But Jesus doesn't start where she should be. He starts where she is. The conversation gets around the issue of a husband. And while Jesus meets us where we are, He's never content with keeping us there. Think about it. He's never content with keeping us at where we are with Him. If the Samaritan woman had her way, she would have talked about the water and religion all day. But Jesus wants to get to her heart. And note how Jesus moved from the conversation from water to thirst to her sin to worship all the way to His identity. That's what He does with us. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to be content with my relationship with God. I'm always going to want to grow closer to Him. I'm always going to want to put more of this on my heart so I can meditate on it and memorize it and share it and use it to share with other believers, other people that don't know Him. And Jesus does the same thing with us. He meets us where we are. No matter if we grew up in a church or in a brothel, Jesus meets us on the grace, with His grace on our level. And this should inform us in the way that we engage on our mission in the way we engage to share the Gospels with people who don't know Him. 2 Corinthians 4 says those who are perishing, because they're perishing because the God of this age has blinded them, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ should shine upon him. And since the beginning of the year, and I've been talking about us being ambassadors, because he wants us to take that light that he's given us and share it with family members, to share it with neighbors and work associates and people in our schools and people that's in the locker next to us or eat lunch with us. He wants us to spread the gospel. He wants us to make disciples. He's calling this church to do this. In verse 39 of chapter 4, because the third point is Jesus gives us hope when we believe and trust in Him. Gives us hope. There are many times through the years where I see moms use Mother's Day as a way to get their husbands or their children to come there because they want them to hear the truth. They want them to hear the gospel. They want them to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I sat in a community group with six ladies that I was in heaven today. Just listening to them share about their moms and about being a mom. And sharing about how grateful we need to be for our moms. In verse 39 of 4, it says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. So for 2 days more, because of the testimony of that woman going and sharing what Jesus had taught her, they want him to stay 2 more days. And what's the result of that? What's the result of spending time with Jesus? What's the result of worshiping him in spirit and truth? Many more believe because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Isn't that beautiful? We want that to happen here every day. Every time we meet here today, every time we worship together today, every time you invite someone to come here today, you want them to realize and know that He, Jesus, is the Savior. And verse 28 is of this chapter is no insignificant detail to the story. In John 4, 27 through 29, it says this, because we're going back a couple verses. Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking to this woman. But no one said, what do you see? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come. See a man who told me everything that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Couldn't we use that verse as an evangelistic invite? Come and see what Jesus has to say to us. Come as we worship him in spirit and truth. Come as we get into the word and fellowship together and gather around his word. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that Peter wrote. So that verse 28, it's no insignificant detail of the story. I really feel like John wants to see that transformation has taken place in this lady. He points out that the woman left her water jar and went away into the town. That's intentional. That's intentional ministry. That's us leaving our seats here and going outside here and telling us what Jesus has taught us. And you're listening, God, I put John wants us to see that a transformation has taken place. That the thirsty woman that Jesus met where she was is now being transformed into who Jesus calls her to be. I'm telling you, teenagers, every time you gather here Wednesday night, Pastor Caleb wants nothing else but to see you transformed by the word, transformed by the worship, transformed while you throw footballs at the windows and stuff. He wants to see transformation happening. And it's beautiful. This Samaritan woman at the well to get the water for herself, she probably went there to get the water for herself, maybe for her boyfriend, maybe for others in the community. But once she found that living water, she dropped her water jar and returned to the community empty-handed. You can really say that about the disciples, because I thought about when Jesus first called the disciples, what happened in Matthew 4. It says, "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And what did the disciples do? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And the lady, the Samaritan woman, instead, she gave them a message of a man that told me all that I ever did. And I think here with this Samaritan woman, you get the idea of what she really is saying is that he told her everything that she ever did, and yet he still loved her. Think about that. That's what we share as believers, that God still loves you no matter what you did. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter the sins you have committed, God is still there saying, "Come, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will forgive you. I will love you. I know everything you've done, but I'm still going to love you." And I believe that it's safe to say, because the woman's message was clear, because as you see in those verses, she realized he's the Savior of the world. His message was one of hope and one of forgiveness. And at his message, it captivated that Samaritan village. They discovered through this woman's testimony that belief in the Messiah Jesus, no matter how messed up we are before, ends with hope and forgiveness. That's what ends up in your life as a believer. That's what you can go to the bank on, hope and forgiveness. And we are like that Samaritan woman. We've got things that we hide behind, stuff that we try to use to numb that reality of living in a fallen world. And to use that illustration at the beginning, we've all got things that we try to stuff into our hearts that fills that gospel gap in our lives. C.S. Lewis once said, If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Because only Jesus can fill us. You want to come forward, ushers and band? Only Jesus can fill us. Will you leave your water jar today? Will you leave it? Will you come to Christ, the only one that can give you rest? As the ushers come forward, I thought about this verse this week in Romans 15, because I was reading that because a guy said they were going through Romans 15. In Romans 15, 13 says this, and it's so true. If you walked out of here today with a verse, walk out with Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. No matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what trial you have in your life, no matter what tragedy you have with your life, maybe you're here and your husband's not here with you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for this illustration of the Samaritan woman, Father. We're thankful that how you taught us how to witness. You taught us how to love. You taught us how to meet the people where they are and show them where they need to be, and that's Christ. So, Father, help us to be that kind of person. Help us to be Jesus in those situations where we come alongside of people that you bring in our path. Father, you're lining up people right now that we might see in a restaurant today, or we might see walking by our home today, or in our work tomorrow, Father, that need Christ, that they're caught up into some kind of sin and they can't seem to get out. But we have the answer. We have the hope, and that's Christ. So, Father, teach us today, Lord. And as we take our offering, Father, I pray that you bless those who give, Father. Bless those in a mighty way. Because your word tells us when we give, you will throw open the windows of heaven, Father, and bless us in so many ways that we can never even imagine. That we can ever imagine or think of, Father. So, Father, as we take our offering today, Father, as we open up this altar, for maybe people that are struggling, or maybe people that need Jesus, or maybe people that want to pray for their mom, or maybe their mom wants to pray for their children. We want to pray for them, Father. We want to come to your throne of grace and show you that we know you're the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and now sits at the right hand throne of God, making intercession for us, using ambassadors like us to proclaim your name. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.